Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath to all of you. Welcome to our southern visitors. Didn't like those tornado ones last night. Man, bad ones everywhere. Hope everybody is okay. Your property is fine. Welcome to those online. Today, I want to take you back to a time 250 years in the past. The time of the founding of the New World. Mindful they had some visitors when they already got here. The Vikings, the Norsemen, a few Indians, and some have even postulated that Solomon's ships back in the day made it over here. I don't know that I can miss out there. Be interesting if it was true, though. But why did these people come? Why did these people sell everything they ever knew and move to the New World? Several reasons. They're giving up everything they have, their homes, their families, and the unknown. You think about what it's like taking a ship from France to England or Spain to this place called America. How hard would that have been to make that journey? Tired of endless wars. Tired of the Anglican Church versus the Church of England, both against the Church of Rome. All they wanted to do was worship their God in peace and without interference from anyone. Isn't this really what the whole world wants? To live in safety. Let's go to Psalm 12 and verse 5. Psalm 12 and verse 5 says, "The Lord tests the righteous, the wicked ones." Hang on, I'm in Psalm 11. No, that doesn't make sense. Let's try again. Psalm 12 and verse 5. "For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns." Just think about what an amazing time that will be when God arises to shake the earth in judgment, to let people know, "I am the Lord." And this time, there's no mistaking who is God. You will have no doubt as to who God is. Think of people who live their entire lives in slavery. They haven't known freedom. They don't even know what the word means. Or peace. What's peace? Peace is an abstract term. We get it maybe once every 5 years or 35 years. Try to mention peace to someone in North Korea. They'll look at you like, "Huh? What's peace? What's freedom?" We don't know. Let's go back down to verses 6 through 8. Verses 6 through 8 are interesting. When I first read them, I thought, this is an ominous tone, but it's really not. It's really a prophecy for our time. "That the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." This is how the words of the Lord are referred to. Purified in a furnace. There's no impurities in it. When you drain the metal out, there's no slag. It's just pure metal. And then, verses 7 and 8, especially verse 7, it says, "You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever." Imagine preserving God's word from this generation. That just seems so foreign, but yet it's so real. The contrast is just hard to get your head around. Expositors has a comment here in verses 6 to 8. It says, "The wicked may turn the world upside down, but God will guard his own." And again, expositors says, "He will care for his children because God's words are flawless, like pure metal." Men can blab whatever they want in front of TV microphones. They can say whatever they want. But right here are God's words. Pure metal that we can depend on. We have the faith to trust in him. One of the things it takes to make a journey of this magnitude is great faith. But many today find faith too much. Oh, you mean I got to do that and that? Oh, that's no way. That's too much work, man. I want the easy way. I want the easy gate. The way which leads to destruction. I don't want the way of faith. The way of living according to God's word. Let's back up to two chapters to Psalm 10. Psalm chapter 10, verse 16. Beautiful verses here. The Lord is King forever and ever. The nations have perished out of the land. That's an interesting statement. If you read Revelation, the nations will indeed have perished out of the land because they will no longer exist. Sure, there will be some, but there's going to be very, very small number. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare the heart and you will cause your ear to hear. Does God hear the prayer of the humble? Do we cry out to Him and say, Lord, I am poor and needy. Hear my prayer. Hear my supplication. The Psalms are full of it. If you search hear my supplication or hear my prayer in the Psalms, you'll find almost 100 references. There's a lot. Will we have enough faith to trust God to prepare our hearts to be where they need to be? See, brethren, we all know this world is full of self. It demonstrates every day. We see self all around us. It's not even a surprise anymore. It's actually kind of sad. But we see the words of God like pure metal standing above it all. This is my plan, and this is what will happen if we have the faith to trust in Him. Think of a time when there will be true justice, righteous justice, judgment with mercy and faith that keeps no record of wrongs. Imagine the justice system that keeps no record of wrongs. That'd be a foreign concept. Oh, we got it. No, we don't. These are the words of God. This is the pure metal. We don't need to. It's an unfathomable human concept except to those who live by faith. Expositors has another note here, which is very good. It says, the fatherless and the widow is reference to a class of people who are most easily wronged. How many people have been absolutely wronged and their lives destroyed by unjust court rulings, by unjust decrees? Isaiah chapter 10. You can write that down in your notes in this verse. God will put an end to all rule. He will say, your time is done. It will be very interesting to see when the kingdom of God happens, when Jesus Christ comes back and sets up rule on this earth, and to see who follows the way of Isaiah 2. Let's go up and learn God's ways. What a concept. And to see those who say, nope, I am going to, this is the way it is. We're going to live this way. And that's why God says He gives the kingdom to the saints, because we, the saints, are going to say, no, that's not going to happen, I'm sorry. We live by God's law now. Man's laws are extinct. What a wonderful time. What will it take to safely drop anchor in God's new world? Do we think we're just going to take it easy and believe in Jesus till the kingdom gets here? Just kind of, oh, God returned, yay, all right, peace and prosperity forever. The hell works? Not exactly. It's a good thing to hope for. It reminds me of a story from the time of the tall ships. I really love tall ships. They're magnificent. They're just awesome to look at, to think about what they did. And just how they work is amazing. They were designed to cross oceans. And I actually didn't know this, but you know what they did with the hulls of the tall ships when they were no longer used? They took them, they flipped the hulls upside down, and they used them for the roofs of barns in England and other coastal cities. Now you think, and after the third day, much to the shock of the first mate of the ship, the captain's voice rang out, Mr. Denny, aye, sir, drop anchor. We have reached Salem Harbor. How in the world did he know that? We've been sailing in pea soup fog for 3 days. How does he know we're in Salem Harbor? Just imagine trying to work out the navigation to go from Newfoundland to Massachusetts in blind fog. 2 days later, when the fog lifted, they were indeed in Salem Harbor. Amazing. The only more amazing story of that I know of is the story of Ernest Shackleton when they went from Antarctica to Elephant Island, 800 miles over open ocean in three rowboats. They didn't even have a ship. In this little island, 3 square miles, they hit it. Perfect. 800 miles of open ocean. Perfect. This is our perfect navigation. If we have a heart of faith to trust in the captain who wrote it and shared it with us. Well, we have the heart of faith to endure to the time of the end that Christ speaks. Well, we have the faith to say, when Christ says it's time to flee, we have the faith to simply just go. That's going to take a fair amount of faith to give up everything we have, our entire world, and go into God's new world. Brethren, in conclusion, I want to leave you with a statement from David. Since we started in Psalms and we're too far away, we don't read this a lot, but let's turn over to Psalm chapter 23. I think of all the number of chorale arrangements that have been done on this particular chapter, and they're very good. But verse 6 is what we want, the last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do we want to know how to be prepared for God's new world? Let goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us be preparing through faith, not be discouraged by the storms of life, encouraged in hope, strengthened in the faith, firmly rooted and grounded in God's pure metal word, that we may indeed drop anchor in His new world.